Yeah, Persia Vayera. This is Vayera, I believe. Again, and the Parsha, of course, starts with Avram's famous example of Hadassah Barachim. Sarah, for the teaching the 2-year-olds, made little the tents with 4 doors, you know, because Avram's tent opened up in all directions because the guests would come in. And it starts the example of that in this week's Parsha, Vayera, Hashem Ben Lanu Mamre. And this is the end of last week's Parsha with Brit Mila. And now we have God appeared to him in Eloni Mamre, Maran Chevron, and he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. And he lifts his eye, and he sees that there are 3 men standing over him, approaching him nearby. And he sees. He runs to greet them. He petach olah from the entrance of the tent. He bows down. He says, Adonai, which certainly sounds like a kadosh. I put the nikud in there. It's not Adoni, my master. If I have found favor in your eyes, al na tavor mi'avdacha, do not pass by your servant.
There's a lot of ayahs in there.
Yes. So the general understanding that, but one is seeing and one is bayar in the sense of understanding. You know, bayar, he sees they're there, bayar, and then he figured out what was going on. Obviously, this is an opportunity. He's going to run to greet. That's why Rashi said. Yes. One
He
is
was
listening.
so desperate for human contact out in the desert. Yay, people.
He's running to greet them. He wants friends, right? He wants to bring them in. He's going to give them. This is a famous Rashi that he has to prepare 3 calves because maybe all of them want tongue. So you have to make sure
Oh.
you cook. You have to make sure you cook enough that everybody can have everything. And what if they all want the same things? So you have to have enough to feed everyone from every single dish. So the amount of food
Oh.
you make goes as the square of the number of people. This is that's the origin of this part. But when I'm
The
looking
thing
at
with
that.
the four sides, is that in the Chumash or
No,
Midrash?
that's
Okay.
what I got it. Okay, but it starts with this.
I'm listening. I'm just moving for 1 minute to,
Okay.
I've got something in the oven.
So Vayera, it starts with Vayera Elav Hashem. That's the key thing. What was that? What is that part where Hashem appears to Abraham? So Rambam says that statement of Vayira Elav Hashem is the introduction to the whole narrative.
Is what?
The introduction. In other words, it starts with
Oh.
Vayira Elav Hashem and Amare. God appeared to him. And then it has a story about Avram and the angels and his guests. What's this Vayira Elav Hashem? What is this appearing to him?
Yeah.
So the Rambam says that's the introduction. And the story is, how did God appear to him? The answer is, by sending 3 angels, right? This is a Rambam Mordechai. Rabbi Yarno, we explained kikoma kom shenizkra bo riyat malach. That Rambam opinion that anytime you see a description of an angel appearing, o dibro, or speaking to an angel, the umnam hum b'mared nevuah abachalo. That is a nevuah. That is in a dream or a trance or some kind of vision. Yivar behem ol yivar, whether it's explicit in the text or not. So vayare love Hashem b'leim mamre. When it says that God appeared to him, Abraham, in Elam Re, it says that that's the general statement of this is what happened. Who shall kanir love? God appeared to Abraham. He has this vision. This is the vision that he had. That whole thing there is just Abraham's vision. Okay? And we know that Ramban gets very upset because it implies the whole thing never really happened. This was just his vision. It kind of minimizes Avram's statement, but at least it explains why it starts with Vayera Elav Hashem. God appeared, and he had this vision of Malachim. And Rashi says it wasn't a vision, wasn't a prophetic message. Hashem was just being friendly visit. Didn't say anything, right? Vayera Elav, this is Rashi, Levaker
Oh.
Techola. Last week, Parsha, he had Mila. He's now all alone. It's 3 days later, right? Amar Chama Bar Chanina, Yom Shlishi Mila Tohaya. It's right after his Mila. How are you? There wasn't anything major happening there, just Hashem appears. And then the guests come. But if you keep looking in the text, there seems that there was a message that Hashem intended to give to Abraham. Okay, it's Bayer Lev Hashem Belema Rei. And then after Abraham bids goodbye to his guests, that story continues.
Oh.
Okay. And we'll look at after he says goodbye, it starts with, and then we'll notice that it starts with this expression, Hashem Amar, the past perfect. That God had said, we're going back to the story, right? So after the whole story with the story, the angel tell him that he's going to have a child, Sarah laughs, etc. Ikum Mishaman Hashem, and the people got up from where they were with Abraham by Shkifu Alpenim Sodom, and they looked in the direction of Sodom. They're going to go there next to see how close they are. Ramallah Imam Shalcham, and Abraham is escorting them. Again, Hashem had said, in the sense of himself, a thought, Abraham, can I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do in terms of destroying Sodom? Abraham will be a great nation, and all the nations of the land will be blessed through him, because I have been intimate with him, I know him, so that he will command his children, his household, I know that he's going to command his household to do so. But Lamana be Hashem Abraham et Asher Diber Allah, so that God will bring all the will fulfill his promises to Abraham. That's the Hashem Amar had said. And then Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem says to Abraham, Zakat Sodom v'Amorah Rabba, that the cry of Sodom and Amorah are great, Chatatem ki chata ma'od, and their sin is terrible. Implying that again, the Bayera, I love, Hashem appears to Abraham, about to tell him, okay, I'm going to destroy Sodom, and that's when Abraham's going to go and try to negotiate. But then he looks up, and it says, you know, Bayar, that he looks up, and there are guests. And then when he says in the Pasuk, he's talking to God.
Oh.
He's putting God on hold, right? So it's Bayer Elav Hashem Bayim Rei, God appears to him. And then Abraham, as he's having this prophetic vision, lifts his eye beside Enav, Bayar, and he sees them there, and he runs out to them and says, God, hold on a second. Hashem, Imnam Asedikhei Beinecha, Al Na Tavor Me'avdecha. Wait.
Oh, wait.
Right.
To God. Okay.
Tells God, wait. Okay. And that's exactly the way the Gemara reads that story.
Oh.
Okay. Amar Yehuda Marav, Gedola Hachanasot Orchim Mikabalah Pnei Shechina.
Oh.
That's greater than reading God, the Shechina itself, as it says, Bayamar Hashem, Imnam Asidi Chani Benecha, Ana Tavor. Right. Abram says, God, you know, hello, this is Abraham. Will you hold? And puts him on hold and goes to deals with his guests. And then goes back afterwards, after they've left.
So then when we read it, we shouldn't say that Ada word. Because
That is Kadosh, right. You definitely should read that as Kadosh.
Okay.
Okay, you should say it as Hashem. I mean, if you're saying it in context, I will say it. It's not.
Yeah, if it's a Pasuk. Right.
But really, it in fact, is the way to read that part of it is as Kadosh.
Yeah,
that's the bottom line, right? But we had a Yom Yun that included Rabbi Shalom Rosner, who I actually haven't heard of before. You know who that is?
No.
He's at YU. He's in Beit Shemesh now. Everyone talks about how wonderful the Shurim are. That he's spoke via Zoom from Beit Shemesh. His father was Rabbi Fred Rosner, who wrote many books on medical ethics. Very famous name. But Joel Garbo said, oh, he's great, and let me a book that he would, that his book of Divrei Torah called Shalom Rav. So But I looked at it, and he asked on about this. But this whole story here that, okay, Abraham asks Hashem, hold on, I got to go see these guests. And the Gemara says that's where we learn that Hanasa Orachim, that Gemula Chasidim is greater than greeting the Shekhinah. Okay, and this way he puts it, trying to understand it. We learn the great significance of the mitzvah of Hechnasat Orachim from Abraham. The question is, how did Abraham know that it was permitted to leave God's presence? Right? We know that from looking at Abraham. Where does Abraham get the chutzpah to do this? Imagine standing before a king and suddenly ignoring the king's presence to engage in conversation with another individual. It is most disrespectful. Interesting question. It brings two answers. Which I will say, I have to quote him because I don't have the primary sources. I don't like secondary sources, but I'm going to quote what he says about other people. First, J.J. Schachter says that, you know, to be a Navi in Tanakh, that the Nevuah is always in a trance. You lose consciousness. It's a chalom. It's when Hashem tells Aaron and Miriam, you know, you can't say nasty things about Moshe because Moshe actually is a greater Navi than you are. He says, "Vayomer Shmuel Devarai." Hashem says to them, "If you will be Naviim, if you will have prophecy, if a Navi will appear in a vision, et vada, I will be known to him. V'chalom adavrabah, speaking a dream." Moshe is different, but Kol Beit Neman, who he is the most faithful in all my household. Pe'el pe'adaber bo, I speak face to face with him. Ma'reh v'lo chidut, God sees, and not with riddles. Not Hashem yabit, he sees the vision of God. Madul eretam daber ba'di Moshe. So why were you not afraid to speak against Moshe? His level of nevuah is much higher than yours. And like the Rambam puts it in the Perush Mishnayot. But Moshe Rabbeinu, alayhi shalom, nivdelet minivuat kol neviim, barba devarim. Moshe's nevuah is different from other neviim and tanach. It goes to the list, but the second one is what we want to look at. Hanina sheni, kichol navi lo tavolo lo hanevuah. Any other navi will only get their nevuah, their vision. Eka shu yashen, when they're sleeping. Moshe Amar b'makamot b'chalom alayla, it's a dream, b'chizayon, or a vision, alayla in a vision at night, rabim, it means there are many similar examples, o bayom, or it's during the day, achashiti poltar deimala al hadam, the person falls into a trap. They're just not awake, they're not there. Yanshin yivatlu mimeno kol hagashot. They don't feel anything, no senses. Yishar machshavto priya, and that way the person can have their entire awareness is focused on this interaction with God. Nizek nikre machazeh, that's what a vision is. Mare. Olav ne'amar b'marot Elokim. That's kind of vision of God. Moshe aviyavoy lav adibor b'yom hu amed b'edishan k'vim. Moshe could speak and still be aware. With all of the shodos, shimol sense there. The way that Raza says, you know, how did Avram see the guests if he was a trance? If he gets the point of Vayira Elav Hashem, and we're saying that's the Nevuah there, then how can he be Sa'enav Vayar, and how can he lift his eyes and then see?
Good question.
Okay, if he's in this prophetic trance. Like, then he loses all his faculties. It must be this time is an exception. Usually he was in a trance speaking Hashem. This time he wasn't. At least not to the extent that he was unable to see his guests. So Avram realized this phenomenon and thought, but why can't he
realize?
Right. So that Vayisa Einav, he lifts his eye, right? Go back here. Vayisa Einav Vayar. He lifts his eyes and he sees three men approaching. So Vayar, he understood what was going on. That he's just dropped out of this level of Nevuah. He can still talk to guys. God, okay, I'm here. But I'm not all there anymore. I've lost that sense of mindfulness. Right? Why is Hashem giving me the ability to see them while he is speaking with me? It must be that he wants me to see them, care for them. That the fact that he could actually see during this was, in fact, the interpretation that Hashem gave him permission.
So under this understanding of Nevuah, Avraham's dialogue and negotiation on Sodom, that's all in a dream kind of state.
Well, he's going to go back to that dream. It's got to be in a dream state. If he's talking to God, he's in a dream state.
Yeah, okay.
So we're saying, so the Rambam says the whole thing is all part of the dream state.
But while he's in this dream, you know, he realizes that he actually sees real people.
He's real. So he's obviously, God's telling him, okay, so God's putting him on hold to give him the lesson here. It's not just he's putting God on hold. God's saying, okay, stop for a second, deal with that, and we'll come back. We'll continue this conversation in a moment.
Is the pshat of Adon Alta Avarmi Meni, is the pshat that he's talking to God, or that he's
that's a question.
People?
How do you read that? You could read it both ways. One is as my master talking to the guys here, don't leave me, stay here and eat.
Yeah.
Or talking to God.
Okay, so you could read it both ways.
You could read it either way. And Rashi brings up both of those possibilities. But the idea is that it's a nice way of looking at it, because we start the whole parak with this, Vayira Lav Hashem.
Right.
You appear to him, and then that goes away.
Right. It's nice, yeah.
Yeah, so this is good there. So that's the idea, that the two Vayaras. First, he saw, and the second one is Vayar, he understood. That Hashem was giving permission to pursue the guest.
Yeah.
That's how I was looking at it. He realized that. So there's another approach. Let me answer it later, sorry.
Another approach to the question of how Avraham knew he could leave God and, okay.
Right, okay. Okay, so that's one approach. He has two. Another approach is offered by Rabbi Rav Wolbe. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. And Shiri Chumash, which I don't have the original of, but he's quoting there. So he says the question that how could Avram interrupt the community with Kadosh Baruch Hu to do Achdas Archim is missing the point of mitzvah. Avram understood what a mitzvah is. And it's true that being a Navi, you're in contact with the mind of God, having this experience is the highest state the human being can aspire to. Rambam says this, that's the whole point of the Mor Nebuchim, that our goal is to be at the level of a Navi. Touch the mind of God, as it were. Ryan says, 11, this is Mor Nebuchim, Dak, Yamitita Nebuwa, that the truth of Nebuwa, Umata, and that state of being a Nebuwa, Hua Shefa, Shefua Meita Loka, it's a gift from God. Yitbarach, Yitbarach, and David is coming. Emsuta Sechel Poel. And it's.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi. Sorry, I'm really late.
You feel late? Is everybody up?
Now everybody's up, yeah.
Eliyahu.
Hi, Aviva.
Who is this?
That's Aviva.
Hi, Eliyahu. Who's the girl?
That's Aviva.
Oh, I never know. I don't think I ever met Aviva.
Well, she's enjoying the time switch.
She gets to sleep next hour. Okay, we're talking about Avraham, and how could Avraham tell Hashem, hold on a second so I can go meet these guests. Okay.
Catch her up on the question. Yeah.
Right. How does Avraham know that? How can Avraham tell God, I'm not tavor me'adecha, you know, you wait, I'm going to go greet these guests and feed them, and then I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
So Rav Wolbe starts with the idea that there's this state of being, here he says, v'zoti ayoter yonam shebemadregot adam. This state of nevuah, this gift of God, is the highest state the human being can aspire to. And it is the ultimate goal of human perfection. Hashem Shai Shimitsei Limino, that it's possible for humankind to find. That's a good thing. That to be a Navi. And it's the ultimate reward, Olam Haba. That's what our goal is, Olam Haba. And this is quoted Gemara, Margal Bafumi de Rav. This was a literally pearl in Rav's mouth that he would say this. Lo kol Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. Olam Haba is different from this world. Olam Haba, ein bo lo achila, lo shtia, lo priya, lo rviya, lo maso matan. That world to come, that you don't eat, drink, there's no physical interaction, no commerce, no kinah, no jealousy, no sina, no tachrut. There's no hate, no tachrut.
Tachrut is like competition.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Envy, hatred, competition. There we go. That was my newest thing on my website is now I can call up Google Translate to the paragraph. Okay.
That's very fancy. They have like an API for this?
They do.
That's very fancy.
Now, if you remember how I... How did I close it? There we go. Like that. Okay. Anyway. El tzaddikim yoshvim, but the righteous just sit, v'atayotem b'rishayhem, and they sit with crowns on their heads, v'nenim miziv hashchina, and they just bask in the glory of God. That's the ultimate olam haba, sitting there basking in God's glory. That's what nevuah is, that's what Abraham is in this state, but nenim miziv hashchina is reward, it's not our responsibility. There's no mitzvah of being in that state. His point. As the Mishnah says, Yafesha Achap Tshuva Masim Tovim Balam Hazeh B'Kol Chayom Haba. Better to be doing Tshuva, doing Masim Tovim in this world than all the Nenim Miziv Hashchin. So that's his answer. Abraham realized that, what's our goal in life? What's our purpose? It's not to bask in the glory of Hashem. That's a word for doing things right. That's fine. But if that's what you're focused on, your priorities are wrong. What happened here? But your goal should be to obey Hashem. Let's see what's happening.
But the question remains, we know this because we see how Avraham behaved, but how did he know it?
So we're saying that he understood what a mitzvah was.
He knew it. He just knew
it understood that his purpose in the world was not simply to be the Navi and all that. It was to be an Oved Hashem, to do that which was right. And that goes to the idea that they kept, that Yavo kept the Torah, at least in that sense, right? So that's why he says that. If I'm a good Eved, then I'll be worthy of being close to Shekhinah in the next world. But in this world, we have to set our priorities straight. Okay? And this is a quote, actually not from Shalom Razin, but from Rabbi Eisenman's book on Shir Hazinu, which talks about what Avodah Zara means. And quoting Rav Wolb again, and introduce the idea of what he calls, is in Hebrew, of arachim, of values. There are things that are important. And they're definitely important. He lists things like democracy, which is good, health is good, food is good, music is good, sports, I guess you could say it's good, visiting the sick, myriads more. Anything that we regard as significant aspects of our lives. Postulates, this is quoting Rav Wolba, that every person has an erech elyon, the highest value, to which all his other arachim are subordinate. Judaism, the erech elyon, there's a word missing there, would be, that's the erech elyon, right, sorry, that is right, would be the Ribono Shel Olam. Your goal is to serve Hashem. Any other value, said Rav Wolbe, would be Avraham Avinu's lexicon be considered Avodah Zarah. Like, if I make anything else be my highest value, then that's Avodah Zarah. I'd be serving Hashem.
But it doesn't answer, is it to be with God or is it to do good things?
And that's what we're saying, is that it is to do good things. There is no mitzvah to be one with God.
So it's a funny way to say the highest value is Ribono Shel Olam, rather than the highest value
is... Right. That's what I'm saying. I say it's not so to be The highest value is to be to fulfill the will of. I mean, that's where it'd be that down.
Okay. Right.
Wait a second. Let me see. I got to make sure I quote.
Where did he go?
He went to get the book just to make sure he's quoting it.
You recognize your house when you see.
What did I say? Page 154. Okay.
I think we also have this book.
We also have it.
No, is that the page?
Are you going to shul?
I got the wrong foot.
This one I also have.
Yes, that's the book I'm looking at. Where I'm putting the wrong page here.
Yeah, it's on 156.
150, is that where did I quote the right page here?
156. It's the second footnote of what we list. Oh, no, never mind. I'm sorry. I just saw the word.
Where are you looking? What page
never
are you
mind. Looking? Never mind. I was looking 156, but he's definitely talking about Arachim here, but it's not the right footnote.
Why am I not seeing
it? Oh, no, it is. 156. We're both with Chachma among the relative Arachim that might.
Yeah. So why did I see this 156 here? I have a different page numbers.
What's That's your weird. Publishing date? Mine is 2009.
Copy this.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's where I have two copies of this. And they're different pages.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh.
And I ended up with two copies of it.
Can I do that? Even with the little tea and the stuff.
Yeah, just at least just push it back.
And also think about this. Also around the big one. And also around this one.
Page numbers are up. There's like gaps in the page. Okay. So you have to words it as.
And also around this one. And also around this one.
In your citation, you have to put the. Which edition it is?
Right. Well, the one that I pulled out clearly is wrong. Clearly, it means it goes straight from chapter 19 to 20, and the pages are all messed up in there.
Oh.
Anyway, so the way he says before here that the goal is to be the Eved Hashem, not something to be with. And he adds this idea that Chachma is one of these relative values that are not careful by competing for the position of Erech Elyon. So that's Torah learning, right? If learning Torah is an end to itself, is pretty radical, then that becomes Avodah Zarah.
Whoa.
Okay? I guess that the Gemara says that the book of Avodah Zarah of Avraham Avinu had 400 chapters. You know, he wrote the book on what you're not supposed to do, as it were. And one of those chapters was about wisdom. Don't let that be able to be. Okay? So he's saying that he understood that there's no mitzvah inherent in what happened by Yirah Elav Hashem. There was no disrespect in stopping, because that he knew that what Hashem wants is the Gemilah Chasadim, not the communion. That was. And in fact, in Avram's life, that came much later, right? He was 75 before he got this. He actually heard the voice of God. He spent his whole life doing the right thing.
Hmm.
Before he became a Navi. There's no mitzvah in him being a Navi, right? So he sees these Shoshan Hashem and Sivan Love. He knew that he has to do his job. He's going to go do that.
But learning Torah is not the same as trying to be a Navi or getting into a...
That's what I'm going to go to. It is very close, okay? Because we're not in a VM. So the question is, what does that mean for us?
Right.
The answer is that we have this. There is something where we get to bask in the glory of God. That is what Talmud Torah is. And there's an amazing essay by Meir Soloveitchik, which everyone should definitely read, called Torah and Incarnation, which is in First Things, which really is a Catholic journal that Meir Soloveitchik writes for Shalom Carmi, writes for as well. But this is basically saying that, trying to explain why Jews love learning Torah. He says it's the same thing as the incarnation of the communion, where Catholics get sort of the physical body of God. Jews don't do that. But we get to get contact with the mind of God, is the way he puts it. What then makes the Torah, as Thomas says, sweeter than honeycombs? Right? The answer lies in the joy of discovering God's mind. The Torah is given as an invitation to the infinite expanses and depths of his mind, precisely because God refuses to present himself in finite form. The Torah is not God incarnate. It is not a finite embodiment of God. We're not Catholics. It is a bridge to divine infinity. God does not make himself finite through the Torah. It gives finite, fallible human beings the means to commune with his infinite mind. Very poetic essay. Again, I highly recommend reading it. But the essay is the point that we can look at Torah that way, but it can't be the ultimate goal. This is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, says it, Amar Rav Yehuda, Kol Osek BaTorah Bilvad. Somebody sits and learns Torah. Doma Kamisha Ein Lo Eloka. It's like you don't have God. You've lost the point. It says in Devar Yemen, V'yamim Rabim Yisrael, this is the Nebuah of Odeda Navi to Asa, that Yamim Rabim Yisrael, that many days, if it's been a long time in Israel, Lo Elokei Emet, there was no God of truth. My Lo Elokei Emet, what it means that there was no God of truth? Shekol Osei Patorah Bova Doma Kamisha Ein Lo Eloka. If you're just sitting learning Torah, you're not involved in Gemilut Chasadim, then you're not worshiping Hashem.
You know, it's hard because there's always three people Nitzavim Lefaneinu that need our help.
That's true. So there's a dialectic there, right? There's definitely a balance.
Right.
Okay. We can't ignore it. And we'll talk. So this is the way the Gemara puts it. In terms of, there is definitely a balance there. And we need some time for us, for our mitzvah. Talmud Torah definitely is a mitzvah also. And there's a balance there, no question. But here's where the Gemara in Megillah puts that balance. Mevatlin Talmud Torah hotzata meitu chanasat kala. Here's the halacha. You have to stop learning Torah in order to accompany the dead. Yeah. And to be mesamech, chatan v'kala, go to a wedding. That's halacha. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, b'Rabbi Elai, we have an example. So hayam avatel Talmud Torah, that he would commonly stop learning, he would stop his Talmud Torah, lohotzi amet l'achnas v'kala, to go to a funeral, go to a wedding. That's a good little chasadim. But you're right, that can't be always, then you never learn at all. But she ate some cold sarko. That's true if there aren't enough people at the wedding and the funeral, that you're needed to be part of the entire ceremony to make the kala happy. Your presence will be missed. Well, yes, some cold sarko, but if there are enough people there, emivata, then you can stay and learn. The key here is the number. Kama cold sarko. How many do you need to say, okay, there's enough there, I don't have to go? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Ini, Mishmei Rav, Hizalacha, Tracer Alfe Gabri. If there are 12,000 people there at the wedding, then you can stay and learn. Okay? Vishita Alpe Shifure and 6,000 members of the band blowing shofar.
What does that mean? What about the shofar?
Vishita Alpe Shifure are 6,000 shofars.
At this wedding?
At the wedding.
Oh.
It's the size of the band. You're playing instruments there, okay?
And I wouldn't. So he's just saying there's never enough, kind of.
Well, he's basically, that's what he's saying, is that it is a very large number, that the balance in this should be way on the side of the Gemara Chasadim part side of it. Yes, there's a balance there, but you need to go all the way there. That's the way. So that's the way he put, that's the way Rosner puts it. Recognize that we face the choice of doing an act of chesed by serving as an Eved Hashem. Those get together. That's what Hashem wants. Remain in the presence of Hashem, the former was a proper choice. That was inherent. And you can argue as well from what we said before, from Jay Schachter said that Hashem, by basically pulling out of this Nenim Ziva Shechina, allowing him to see the strangers approaching, Hashem was telling him as well, okay, yeah, we need to stop this conversation. This is wonderful, but we need to stop for a moment because you've got a job to do. And that's what it means when it says Gedola Knesset Orchin Mekabalat Pnei Shechina. It's true in our lives.
Nice. If I remember this, I'll give it over on Shabbos. It's very nice.
You can print it if you want to.
Yeah.
All written online. To remember.
So you know what struck me? And there's a mention of Tzedek U'Mishpat. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Is that the first time we get that?
Yes.
This is nice.
This is Hashem saying to Abraham, this is that right. The reason why I've chosen Yedativ in the sense of Yada being intimately. The reason why I've chosen Abraham is because I know he's going to teach his family, Bana Beto Acharav, to do Tzedakah Lasot Tzedakah.
Yeah, that's
right. I know that. That's why
it's really early that we get that idea that Tzedek U'Mishpat is the biggie,
right?
Not the big. Well. Yeah, that's what God wants.
Right.
That's Rebbe
Shamru derech Hashem lasot tzedakah mishpat.
Yeah,
that is what right. Our job is. It's not that tzedakah mishpat is the goal per se. The goal, you would say, is still derech Hashem. Do what Hashem wants. But the answer, what Hashem wants, is tzedakah mishpat.
Yeah. But.
Okay. So
yeah. Okay.
Nice and short, and I'll stop here. It's late for me because I didn't change the clocks yet.
Oh.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on later.
Thank you. So